time now for the other side. Ordinarily joined by Orange County Conservative Ashley Campbell. Today, she has got the day off, so we are joined by a couple of special guests here in the studio. Waddy Davis is the chair of the Orange County Republican Party. Shawnee Bigelow is with the Orange County GOP and a public policy consultant, and they are here today, both in the studio. Shawnee, Waddy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
So, okay, so first, since this is your first time here on the other side, tell us about yourselves. Waddy, how about you?
Well, I'm Waddy Davis, a U.S. Army Special Forces. I'm a decorated combat veteran. I have overseas experience in Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Israel. My wife is a chairman of the Orange County Club Nova. It's a community in the board of directors.
Awesome, yeah.
And I've got 3 kids, 7 grandkids.
So awesome.
Flourishing.
Sounds good. Shawnee, how about you?
I'm a global development consultant. I've spent 25 years in the field. My expertise is in coalition building and sustainability. That has brought me to work in Kenya and Myanmar with the government, the newest government that's there. And also I had the privilege of working with the Obama administration with his 2015 task force on 21st century policing. So it's brought me to a lot of different places. Glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
How do you feel about the task force on policing? Because I read that when it first came out, and we had a couple of conversations about it here on the air, and it was kind of really cool moving in that direction.
It's fantastic. It's really all about community policing, all about building bridges, and it was really needed. It was created because of the Ferguson riots, mm-hmm. and it was such a privilege to be a part of that.
Yeah, awesome. So there's a lot in the news this week, locally, statewide, nationally. What are we talking about this week, Waddy?
I was going to go into a couple of things, just to get a little background before we get into the actual issues. I was just talking about, basically Sean had an agreement that all politics is local.
Mm.
And our vote really does matter, because in the previous governor's race, it was decided by 4 votes per precinct. So that tells you, get out and vote.
Yeah, and we're getting into the local elections too, and those local elections can be decided by just a handful of votes one way or the other, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just something about who we are and what we stand for. Equal rights, equal justice, equal opportunity for all. We're really all about strengthening families, communities, and schools. And one of the things that we want to talk about today is civility.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? To show some common respect towards other people, the viewpoints, understand their position. We can all agree to disagree, but it's a democracy after all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as civility, what I see is the lack thereof in mm-hmm. today's world. It's greatly changed. When I was growing up, or much younger, we could have conversations openly regarding our differences politically, religiously, all of that, and people were accepted for whatever they believed. After a great debate, it was easy to go say, well, let's go get some coffee, we were able to put it aside. But now it's become so divisive. People that's considered to have a dissenting view, they are all of a sudden placed on a defensive because they're being called racist or sexist or misogynist or homophobic or Islamophobic, all these things when we really differ on policy.
One of the things that I've always kind of found just sort of studying American history is that very little is new, right? Like all of the things that we're seeing today, like you can go back in 30 years ago and 50 years ago and 100 and 200 years ago and find really, really bizarre parallels between what happened in even 1790 and today or 1950 and today. And one of the things that kind of struck me about civility is you mentioned like there are certain opinions that are considered out of bounds today that were not considered out of bounds like 50 years ago. Like you could have those conversations mm-hmm. and then go have coffee. 50 years ago, there were opinions that were considered out of bounds that now today are not. So people trying to have that conversation would have been dismissed or marginalized or pushed aside 50 years ago, and now today they're not. So it's not even necessarily like an increase or a decrease of civility or incivility. It's just a shifting of what's considered civil and what's considered uncivil.
Well, in the 80s, I didn't see as many riots that I'm seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's not just happening in the United States. It's growing throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing even the yellow vests in France, destroy buildings on grand scales every single weekend. So I don't necessarily agree with that. Yes, there's always been uncivil, civil unrest
mm-hmm.
for different topics, and rightly so, okay? But it just seems like as far as my perception. It just seems like the conservative voice, and the growing anti-Semitic rhetoric and anti-Christian rhetoric is growing in the last 5 years, more so than I have ever seen.
Since you're going back in history, you can recall just 2 years ago, just mm-hmm. a little over two years ago.
Yeah, I was just about to bring this up, yeah.
That we had our political office firebombed. Mm-hmm. It was the only place in the United States of America that was destroyed. And right now, you know, a grand jury was formed. They got a person of interest, interviewed her. She refused to talk. So it's still a very active FBI and police investigation case. We have a $20,000 reward for information leading to those responsible. You know, this really hit a nerve for me because I had just gotten back from Afghanistan 3 years, mm-hmm. and I was used to seeing IEDs, things destroyed, people killed. But to come back and find it in my Orange County backyard was astounding. You know, but I'm optimistic that justice is going to be served. Mm-hmm. But just to give you another example, you know, during the past election, we had several young college students, these women working for us over here, Chapel of the Cross. They were harassed by a couple older guys. They were called Nazis. What are you doing here? Kind of a thing, and just intimidated. You know, there's no room for that in this, not just in our community, especially in our community, mm-hmm. especially with young vulnerable students. I talked with the chairman of the Democratic Party about getting a focus group put together where we could come together, talk some differences, we can agree to disagree. There's no room for hate or animosity in our community, and so we've got to work at getting our differences understood and appreciated.
Speaking with Wadi Davis and Shawnee Bigelow, again, you're listening to The Other Side, and I think there's kind of a growing movement, and I know of a few different independent movements just within this community, and I know that's kind of spreading nationwide, of not just creating forums like this for civil discourse, but actually recognizing people for being champions of civility. Yeah. We've got one here on WCHL that we do periodically. I know there's a couple of other organizations or just independent individuals that are trying to get this started. And I think that's a really positive step. Like, we're moving in that direction.
Absolutely.
I think it's very, very important to foster intelligent debate.
Mm-hmm.
That we are actually becoming more individually informed about the process. One of the good things that is happening, I think, even in with the mainstream media, is it has forced people to have to look up what the truth is, you know, instead of just taking people's opinions for face value. So that is a great thing that this radio station is, you know, helping that process happen.
Yeah.
And I would say also what is important is that we all have a personal responsibility to be proactive about our emotional reactions versus what our factual information is. I mean, we all have deep faith values, a belief system. But when we want to shut down the other side's viewpoints, then it almost becomes an aggressive attempt to silence, you know, a completely valid point of view. You know, not every dissent, not every disagreement is based in racism or based in some sort of phobia.
Mm-hmm.
It's based in, you know, our faith and beliefs and values as an individual.
I want to go back to the point that you made about just the value of just looking things up and confirming the gut reaction that we have, and you look at a media story and you say, okay, well, this is what this news article says. What are the facts behind the story? Can I find this confirmed in other things? The issue with that today, and this is one thing that is kind of new or at least different today than it was even 10 or 15 years ago, is now we got the internet, right? So now we've got 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 different potential news sources that we can get to, and each of them caters to a particular niche. So if you want to find a news article that confirms some opinion that you hold, you can find it, right? So how do we get over that? How do we get beyond just finding the source that confirms what we already think and actually get to not just the facts, but to other opinions or other perspectives that challenge us and make us think a little bit differently or deeper?
I think everybody has a moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you trust your intuition, the way you were raised, what you've learned, what your belief system is, and you gravitate to like-minded people in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you look for scripted articles and blogs and things and discussions, you know, that line up with your way of thinking and maybe reinforce it, but still not being closed off to understanding what the opposition point of view is.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing in the military is understanding your enemy. It's not saying the opposition is the enemy, but I need to understand, how does the opposition think? How do they think? Why do they think that way? And one of the things that Shawnee and I are doing in our own organization is making people become more informed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually started a group in our organization called Informed Conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So not only they read books, but they watch TED Talks, they look at Prager University videos, and they have discussions. Because a lot of people are just an inch deep and a mile wide when it comes to knowledge.
Mm.
Kind of get a little deeper into it. And these are the kind of discussions we need to have.
Speaking again with Wadi Davis and Shawnee Bigelow, other things on your mind right now? We're going to wrap up the conversation in a couple of minutes, but I know there are a lot of issues out there that people are thinking about talking about.
Well, one of the things that's recent here is that Shawnee hit on is anti-Semitic. You know, they brought a person in here named Linda Sasseur. She is a Palestinian American. Her parents were migrated from Palestine. She's very outspoken. She was paid by the Orange County Human Rights Committee to get up to $10,000 to come here and speak for Women's Month.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand what is the world going on with their thought process to bring someone so controversial, rather than you got somebody really outstanding, smart, intelligent, accomplished women right here in our area,
mm-hmm.
in the Triangle, in North Carolina, that could have been there and talking. So,
and this video is now online, right? So you can actually get online and watch the video.
Our disagreement with Linda Sasseur, you know, with the government actually paying her, I don't have a problem with bringing in dissenting voices. They can say whatever they want to say. We live in a country that has that values freedom of speech. But where I have my problem with it is that they used our taxpayer dollars to bring in a person that has extreme, extreme views, hateful views towards a group of people.
I think the argument that appeals to me in terms of this, in terms of kind of pushing back against Linda Sasseur, is not so much even pushing back against the content of her speech or where she's coming from, but just the use of public dollars to pay for
Absolutely.
A speaker at all, right?
She has a right, and institutions, whether they're public or private, have a right to bring in who they want. I don't have an issue with that, but it's about using my money and your money to bring in somebody that is so anti-Semitic.
Mm.
And I think it's a huge black eye for Orange County. I would add to this, look at what is happening in the world. It seems that people have already forgotten what happened in late October at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pennsylvania. And we need to start addressing that. And it shouldn't be partisan. It shouldn't be that way. It should be about human civility towards a fellow person. We have a responsibility as human beings to allow people the advantage of worshiping who they want to worship and having a peaceful life. And it just doesn't seem like it is being valued as much as it should be valued in our country.
We got to wrap up. We're speaking with Wadi Davis and Shawnee Bigelow. People want more information. Where can they go?
They can go to our website. It's orange.nc.gop. That's the Orange County GOP office, orange.nc.gop. And thank you again for having us.
Yeah,
we're
time.
Also on Twitter at orange_GOP. We also have our Facebook at official Orange County NCGOP. Again, Aaron, thank you again for this opportunity to be here today. Appreciate it.
And you can get the full archive of Other Side interviews at theaaronkeckshow.com. Wadi, Shawnee, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.